I'm going to read from Acts chapter 14. Verse 3. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Now let's look at this. He says here, for a long time these people stayed in one place to preach the gospel of Jesus, and then God gave testimony of the word of his grace. Okay? Now that's an important key in understanding healing. If you don't understand grace and mercy and know what the difference is and how grace and mercy really works, you will struggle either to receive your healing or to maintain your healing. So many times we think we cannot receive a miracle from God because there is still sin in our lives. Now I've got news for you. There's not one place where Jesus healed a saved man. There's not one instance, not one in the Bible where Jesus healed a saved person. Not one. He healed the sinners. And after they were healed, they started to follow him. And what we do is we feel so much, we feel so obligated to have a holy life and then out of that holy life receive from God. Now I've got news for you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 that there's no one righteous, no, not one. And the context there is not the blood of Jesus, but the context is your works. So if you want to come before God to receive your healing, to receive salvation, to receive peace, to receive prosperity, to receive release from your debt and the situation you are in, on the basis of what you do for God, I want to tell you there's no one righteous, no, not one. You will never qualify. You will always feel guilty. You will always feel, well, it might not happen because everything is not in place. Let's hope it happens. But if you can understand the mercy of God, the mercy of God means to treat somebody better than what he deserves. So God wants to, and that is who he is, treat you better than what you deserve. If you are in this tent tonight and you are unsaved, you may be not a Christian, maybe you're a Muslim or a Hindu, or you're a person that's never even believed in Jesus, maybe you're an atheist, I want to tell you, God loves you. There's nothing you can do to take the love of God towards you away. He always loves you. He cares for you. He'll provide for you. The Bible says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Okay? I've heard a man preach on finances, and he says, God only loves givers. God only loves givers. If you're not a giver, God doesn't love you. Man, it's not who God is. You can go and read Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 says, if somebody slaps you on the one side of your face, turn the other one as well. Okay? Then it says, if somebody takes your onderbike, vat, moet hom nie die bo een weier nie. Of wat ook al. If they steal something, give more. If they curse you, bless them. Because if you do that, you will be children of the Most High. Now, you must remember, the Hebrew context of a child of God is a representative or somebody that is like Him. Because when Jesus said, I am the Son of God, then they wanted to stone Him. And then He said, why do you stone me? Why do you want to stone me? They said, because you say you are the Son of God, making yourself equal with God. So if you if somebody could slap you here and you can turn the other side, if somebody steals from you and you give him more, the Bible says, you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Hallelujah. So if you are unthankful today, if you are evil today in what you do, I want to tell you, God is willing and He is kind towards you. The whole thing tonight is, are you going to receive His kindness or not? Because you cannot survive into eternity without His kindness. You need His kindness. His kindness was Jesus Christ forgiven, so that your sins can be paid for, so that you can be forgiven of everything you've done wrong, and be placed in the place as if you have never sinned and always obeyed. Which is blessing, prosperity, and healing. Hallelujah. That's what He came to do for us. And that's what's written in the Scriptures. Now, that's basically the message of grace. So if we want healing tonight in our physical bodies, if you want salvation tonight, I've got good news for you. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Luke chapter 15. So many times we think, well, you know, I'm this holy guy. Therefore, I'm a friend of God. God called the sinners His friends. But I can understand once you come to a place and you say, well, He calls me friend, but now I've come to a place where I realized where I receive His friendship, so I also call Him friend and master or Lord. Amen. So, we must remember that God loves people. And if you're a sinner here tonight, if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you feel condemned, if you feel, man, God has pushed me away, there's somebody who has paid for your sins so that you don't have to feel condemned anymore. You don't have to feel condemned anymore. God loves you. And the reason why He loves you is because of His righteousness. We must always remember, and so many times we think, you know, just because of the goodness of somebody, He'll forgive me, you know? Or He will say, you know, and I think I've mentioned it here, if I come to the, if I've done something wrong, and I've really done something wrong, and a police officer finds out about this, I stole something, and he says to me, oh, don't worry, man, I forgive you, you know? It sounds good, but it's not that good, because some other police officer might find out about this thing. And then I'm not truly forgiven. The best place to be forgiven is to stand in front of the magistrate. And where he come and the judge says, we find you guilty, but we choose not to punish you. Then when you walk out there, you're not scared if anybody could find out about that sin. Okay? Because you know you've truly been forgiven in a righteous way, not an unrighteous. An unrighteous way is for the policeman to say, oh, well, just, you know? But the righteous way is if you've been found maybe guilty, but you've been pronounced free because of the choice of the magistrate. Okay, so now I want to tell you that every person has been found guilty before God, and then God looked at Jesus and He said, well, this person, because of your sin, there is great punishment for you, but because one man, Adam, brought the sin upon you, one man can take the punishment for the sin. And there is a man that's willing to do that. His name was Jesus. And then He took the punishment for your sin upon the cross. So that when you come before the Father, you are not just forgiven because He feels, oh, I want to forgive. You are forgiven righteously. Nobody can find you guilty. I tell you, so many people try to find me guilty with Scriptures. You know, you've done this wrong, you've done this wrong. Then I just say, yes, yes, I know I've done that wrong. You know, yes, I've done that wrong. I know. Say, Yana, what are you going to do about it? I call on my advocate. And we call God into this thing. And then we ask Him what He says about this. And you say, no, He's done this. And God says, what? Yana, this thing, what? What thing? Are you talking about the thing that my son died for? I'm talking about that. No, that's gone. Why are you even mentioning it? It's gone. Now, I'm not saying that we can go and live a life of sin. What I'm saying is that we are forgiven. And when we come for healing or salvation or any of those things, let's Let our deeds not be an hindrance for us to receive from God. Because without you receiving from God, it will be impossible for you to be healed. It will be impossible for you to be saved. It will be impossible for you to receive or to leave that sin you are busy with. You cannot leave your sin by your own power. You need to come to Jesus. Sir, lady, I want to tell you something. If you are in a relationship with somebody and you're not living a good life with that person, you're always fighting, you're always backbiting each other, you're always shouting and screaming in the house in front of the children, swearing there at home, and you think, well, man, it was just because I became angry. I'll stop one day. You're never going to stop. You will never. It's going to become worse. I tell you the truth, and I'm not a prophet of doom, but I want to tell you the ways of man. The ways of man is not righteous. It's the ways of death. Okay? So it's not going to become better. But there's somebody that will help you. His name is Jesus. But what we have thought is, we thought that I must change my life to get Him happy, and once He's happy, then He'll help me. It's not the way it works. You come to God the way you are. And then you say, my God, what do you say about my sin? What do you say about my life? Then Jesus, I've died for your sin. And if you can choose to believe that and say, well, if Jesus died for my sin, this sin has got no more power in me because He died with Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will have holiness. Therefore, I will have righteousness. And I am set free by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And you'll find stability coming to your house. You'll find, you look at your wife and she's beautiful to you again. Amen. It's like in my marriage, you know, the longer I'm married, the happier I am. I tell you, I'm so blessed with my wife. But I tell you, once Jesus is in your life, and it's not this name Jesus. Jesus. And the name Jesus is not just that name, it's what's behind that name. You know, the name traffic officer means nothing to me. But what is behind him, if there was nothing connected to it, it would mean nothing. It would mean nothing to me. But if I don't have that safety belt on, and my wife says, traffic officer, man, I don't even see him. I don't know where he is, but I move. Because of what's behind the man. So Jesus, the name Jesus is wonderful and it's powerful. But what will make it relevant for you is what you believe is behind that name. And what I believe we must understand, and what is written down in Acts 14 verse 3, is He says God gave testimony to the word of His grace. So when we preach of Jesus, we must connect grace to Jesus. Now there's a difference between mercy and grace. Mercy is God treating you better than what you deserve. Grace is God's influence upon human beings because of Jesus. That's grace. Now let me repeat myself. The Greek meaning for grace is the divine influence upon the heart and the acting out in the life, including gratitude. Greek word charis. Okay, so now what you do is when you want to see Jesus and you want to see grace, the grace of Jesus, you must say, if you look at your marriage, if you look at your life, if you look at your sinful situation, if you look at your sickness, you must hear the word of grace. What is the word of grace? The word of grace is this. Through the sin or the disobedience of one man, sin entered into this world. Through the sin of how many? One. So we were all born into sin because of the disobedience of one. But now the Bible says, and this is what I call righteousness. It's right. It's just. I'm so glad God is a just God. Because it would be unjust if one man dumps everybody into sin, but one man cannot dump everybody into righteousness. It would be unjust. And I want to tell you, when you get saved today, I don't want to just preach a normal evangelistical message. You must get saved and get rid of your sin and come and receive Jesus. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But when you go home, I want you to remember something that can sustain you and keep you in the life that you receive now. through the obedience of one, Romans 5:19. Many has been made righteous. But through the disobedience of one, many became sinners. So the grace of God, God gave testimony to the word of His grace. The word of how Jesus influenced your life. Sir, I want to tell you, if there is no peace in your marriage, if there is no peace in your finances, there is the grace of God. You can influence your situation by strings you can pull. But let me tell you, it is so much better if you can have God pull the strings. That's the grace of God. And the Bible says in Romans 5 verse 2 that by faith we've got access into this grace. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank God that He's revealed the message of grace to me. I live by grace. I breathe by the grace of God. Never despise the mercy of God. Never despise the grace of God. You live by the grace of God. You breathe by the grace of God. You are forgiven by the mercy of God. And you know why the message of God's love is so important? You know why it's so important for you to focus on what Jesus has done for you? So that you can see how good He is. Because love has got a greater influential power than bitterness. I think I've preached it to here in Scottsboro. One day I went to, let's use a motorbike for an example. You know, when I go onto the racing track with my bike, I open up the thing. I didn't buy a super bike to tour with. I want to feel that adrenaline. I want to feel when you threw the corner, God helped me. Hallelujah. Some people are just like that. If you don't understand it, maybe one day. But you know, when you are scared on that motorbike, when you go into that corner at 200, you look at the rev meter, it's close to the red, it's doing 210 k's an hour, and your knee is this far off the top. And what's going through your mind is, I must relax. It's really, because if you tense up, you're going to fall. I must relax, and I must just lean into this and trust that the tire will not slide. Slip. That's it. You buy the right tire, you use it for the job. You know, it's fear. There's fear in your heart. But the enjoyment of that is greater than the fear. That's why you'll still do it. Love, even if you feel it's a fearful thing to give my life to Jesus Christ. It's a fearful thing to say I'm a Christian. If you can have a big enough revelation of what Jesus has done for you, that love will exceed that fear and you'll be able to make that decision and to walk by the faith of God. Hallelujah. And that's what I want to tell you. When you come to Jesus Christ, come with an understanding that He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. Your sins has been judged in Jesus Christ. You are set free, but you are there to receive your freedom. And you're coming to a God that is happy. Jesus is happy already. The Father is happy already. He smiles. So many times we think the Father was so angry with the world that He just wanted to wring all of our necks. But then Jesus came in. Whoa, Dad. Just give me a chance, please. Don't murder these people. Well, let's see what you can do. But I tell you, I'm fed up with them. It's not the truth. The Bible says, for God loved the world so much that He gave His Son. Amen, man. Never think that the Father is angry. He's not an angry God. He's a God of long suffering. The Bible says, love is kind. And God is love. So God is kind to you. When you come here with that sickness and that disease, God is kind to you. You know, the Amplified says, I will make no mention of past sins. It says, in my love, I will be silent. And in silent satisfaction, I will make no mention of past sins or even recall them. But the problem is you are still walking with sin in your mind and in your life. And you need to come to God and receive that forgiveness. So that you in your mind can also believe that you are free. Because you are living in a lie. Jesus has set you free and you are continuing in the lie. Therefore you are experiencing that bondage in your life. But when you come to Christ, He's not angry. He's not going to put 20 laws on you. He's going to give you a new life. He'll write His law in your heart. He'll write His law in your heart according to Hebrews. And what that means is, from your heart you will just want to do what's right. It doesn't mean I'll know the 10 commandments off by heart. Please, man. I've got such an excitement for tonight's service. I know that many people will be healed. Many people will be touched. And people that haven't given their life to Jesus will say, Jesus is so good. I want to come to Him and the salvation that this man talks of, it's my night to receive it. I'm so blessed with the message the pastor preached about time. There's a time for everything. There was a time when sin came into the world. And then there was a time when sin was put on the body of somebody. There was a time when sin came in the world, and then there was a time when sin was taken away from the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Oh, hallelujah. And now is a time for you to receive that revelation and the freedom that comes with the taking away of sin in Jesus Christ. So many times we think, I'm so bound. Listen, man, you have been set free by Jesus. You can receive your freedom tonight. You have been healed by the power of the Holy Spirit upon the cross, and you can receive your healing tonight. It's your time. Your time has come for healing. Maybe it's not the biggest crusade in Africa, but I tell you, the same God that's in the crusade of Benny Hinn is the same God that's here. Hallelujah. And He will heal you. Oh, bless God. So, let's just recap quickly. We've said that God gave testimony of the word of His grace through signs, wonders, and miracles. Okay? So, what was the word of grace? The word of grace was the influence Jesus had upon man through His obedience, death, and resurrection. What was the influence Jesus had through His obedience, death, and resurrection concerning your sinful life? You are forgiven. You are made the righteousness of God if you can believe it. If you cannot believe it, you will not have no access to it. It will be there, but you will not have access to it. Reinhard Bonnke said it so beautifully. They had him on a national television. They said to him, Brother Reinhard, do you believe that there's power in the blood of Jesus? They said, of course. He said, do you believe that the blood of Jesus could wash away the sin of the whole world? He said, of course. Then the man said to him, now, if the blood of Jesus was so powerful, why is there so much sin in the world? Then Reinhard said, well, it's very easy. The blood of Jesus is like soap. Soap is all over, but everybody is not clean. You must personally reach for the soap. And then apply the soap. Righteousness is everywhere. God has washed away all the sin of the whole world. But everybody does not have access to it. Or everybody does not apply that to their lives. Your sins has been forgiven. You have been delivered. You have been healed. And that is God's perspective of your life. But if you don't make use of it, you will still struggle. Let's use what God has given to us. So I'm not saying, listen, you know, we are righteous now and let's go and do whatever we want. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you became the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the representative of man. He's your representative on the right hand of the Father. As healthy as what He is. As wealthy as what He is. As peaceful as what He is. You can be in this world if you can believe that He did it for you. And if you can see yourself in Him. The day when you get saved is when you say, my Father, I believe with my heart that Jesus, which is a man, is Lord. You know what that means? To say Jesus is Lord. Jesus became a human being. Like I said this morning, I think it's 11 times or 13 times in the New Testament, He's referred more to as the Son of Man than the Son of God. Because the context of the New Testament is for us to understand that Jesus became a human being. He became a human being so that you can know He is my representative. Adam was a human being. He represented man and He dumped man into sin. And never be robbed from the revelation that Jesus has got human flesh which is glorified in heaven today. Because as long as you can see Him as a human being representing you, you can say, I identify with Him, and what He has got, I've got. And by faith, Romans 5 verse 2, we've got access into this influence that Jesus had on our behalf. And He influenced you to be happy. He influenced you to have righteousness. He influenced you to have joy in that marriage of yours. He influenced you to restore that relationship between you and your children. Hallelujah. If I look at my children, the youngest one is 5, the oldest one is 11. February turning 12. And the wonderful relationship I have with them. I love them and they love me. There's such an openness. There's such a love for God and a mutual love between each other. They're my children, but they're my friends. That's the way it is. But I want to tell you, I couldn't have access into that if it was not for God's influence upon my life. You know, when you come to a place when you say, Jesus, I identify with You. When You died, I died. Now, there's ample scripture for that. Romans 6 verse 1. When He died, we died with Him. And when He was resurrected, we are resurrected with Him. 1 John 4:18. So that as He is in heaven, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. So what must we do? Lord, I identify with You. The moment you say, I identify, you've got access to the grace of God. And then you find the pain in your back gets healed. You find you can stand up out of the wheelchair. You find that the eyes with the cataracts can see now. You find that the jaw that couldn't work is working now. There's a lady here, she couldn't sleep with pain because of a problem in her jaw. And she didn't want to testify. I don't condemn you. God healed her because she had access to the grace of God. And the Bible says the grace of God has been made known unto all of man. It's there for you. By grace we are saved through faith. I'm not promoting sin. I'm promoting a life of salvation. Salvation. We are saved by grace. We are healed by grace. By grace we've been enriched. It's by the grace of God.